Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. And let me bring you on, Sherry. I don't see you in the queue, or rather I'm having difficulty seeing in the queue, so just give me one moment. Sherry?
There I am.
It's always a miracle when I can do that.
Well, technology is a miracle, isn't it? We can get so frustrated with it when it doesn't do exactly what we want, but it is miraculous for many things.
It is.
Awareness practice being one of them.
Yes, yes. Okay, shall we plunge right in?
Yes, please.
Here's the passage for the day. Remember those great words of Jesus. To those who have, more shall be given. From those who lack, even the little they have will be taken away. The principle can be stated in the plainest of terms. If you are selfish, stingy with your love, the scant security you cling to will be battered to pieces by life. But if you give of yourself freely, without any thought of personal reward, your security will grow unshakable. You will always have more to give.
Mm.
One more time.
Read it again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember those great words of Jesus. To those who have, more shall be given. From those who lack, even the little they have will be taken away. The principle can be stated in the plainest of terms. If you're selfish, stingy with your love, the scant security you cling to will be battered to pieces by life. But if you give of yourself freely without any thought of personal reward, your security will grow unshakable. You will always have more to give.
You will always have more to give. Hmm. Isn't that just amazing? To consider that love is something that the more we give it away, the more we have.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so glad you said that, Sherry, because I've always struggled with this. But the frame that you just provided really assists, because the quality that we're giving away is love.
Yes. Yes. And because, as we say all the time in practice, what we do is what we have. What we give is what we get. Yeah? Then there it is. That's mm-hmm. If you want to feel loved, the only way to feel loved is to love. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not mm-hmm. something we can get. It's something we have to do and give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So we can have as much love as we want, but we have to be the ones to generate it, because it's not going to come from anywhere else.
And it's such a, what do you call it, warp for conditioned mind, which
yes.
I was looking at that earlier, and it's because it is a position of scarcity, right? The premise of ego is I don't have enough, and so I'm
yes.
not able to give. And the position of love is exactly the opposite. There's an infinite amount of it, so we could just give it, and it's in giving that we receive it.
Yes, and as Jesus is pointing out, it's trying to hold on to something for me. So here, if we picture ourselves as a container, and if me is 99% of the container, then there's only 1% left over for life, for love, for all that is, for God. Okay? But mm-hmm. as we choose to love rather than focusing attention on me, then now, you know, I'm 80% me and 20% for God. Now I'm 50-50. Now I'm, okay? And so that's how in practicing awareness, we just get happier and happier and happier. And it's quite scientific. It's mathematical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a We've been practicing it without knowing it all year, right? Emptying the teacup.
Yes, yes, yes. Because that empty teacup then is available for God to fill and use, right? We fill it with love, it can be used. We fill it with love, it can be used.
Wow. Okay, well, let's see what our first caller has to say about that.
All right, thank you.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini, this is Ladima.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's been a while since I've called in.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing in these turbulent times?
Oh, goodness. I've kind of had to definitely, like other callers have expressed, turn off the news, turn off, you know, haven't really looked at social media, try not to spend a whole lot of time on that anyway. And, you know, the first couple weeks, I would wake up at night, or I would, it's almost like, not just in the night, but throughout the day, I would think about the election results and almost like touching a sore to see if it still hurts, see if I'm scared, how scared am I, kind of, and it, you know, had a hard time sleeping, noticed that at night, woke up a lot in the night, touching the sore to see, yep, it still hurts, yep, I'm still scared.
Right. Yep. Yep. I'm still not sleeping.
Still not sleeping. So, you know, but at some point, it kind of that process stopped, and then a different one sort of picked up, and that was solving the world's problems. You know, what am I going to do now? And ideas then would start going through my head, and great ideas, ideas I'm sure no one else in the history of time has ever had, and, you know, and I couldn't stop thinking about them because they were so great and would solve problems, at least my own, maybe. So then it was almost like the flip side of the process of, does it still hurt? Now it's, and then it just sort of flipped right into, can't stop thinking about how to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Just wanted
so
to
can't
talk
stop
about that.
Can't stop. Yeah, can't stop thinking about how scary it is. Can't stop solving the problem, and it's so perfect because what you lay out is just the ping pong match of duality. I like to think of it. So there you are as the little ping pong ball. And that side of the duality smacks you, and then that side of the duality, and it just back and forth, back and forth. Oh, God, this is terrifying. Well, what we can do is, oh, God, this is terrifying. Well, what we can do is, and it just
exactly.
keeps the poor little human being just in a constant state of focused on ego, which, of course, is ego's dream come true.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and so are you seeing a possibility other than that of choosing something?
Well, I've started, you know, I guess I've kind of known for a while, I've had trouble sleeping for a while, and I've kind of known I needed to get my meditation practice going again and be more committed to that. And I think this just really... this situation I can be grateful for in that it has, it's become even, felt even more necessary than ever. You know, where it may have felt almost like a luxury before, like, oh, it's nice to meditate. I feel better when I meditate. Isn't it nice? I'm a good person, all that stuff. But now it just, it feels really necessary.
Yes.
And the whole notion
because...
of practice, of really practicing letting go of either story, whether it's the are you scared yet story or the I'm going to solve a problem, you know, what am I going to do about it story, just letting it all go.
Yes, letting it all go so that we can be here and life can guide us, which is what makes everything in life that goes up against conditioning for us, makes it a great opportunity. Because if we will use it as a wake-up call, then, okay, what do I need to do? Well, I need to get here. I need to be able to direct attention away from egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and its stories. I need to be able to direct attention to this here now, be here, be still, and await guidance, which life is constantly giving us. We talk about in practice all the time, from don't forget your umbrella, to keys to the car, to pick up milk, to call so-and-so. You know, it's the direction and guidance is constantly there. We just don't hear it because we're busy either listening to the, oh, God, story, or the, okay, story. And it, in that quiet, life can guide us to what to do. And what to do from love, not from separation.
What to do not from separation, but from love.
Yes. Yes. So it's the, you know, people have been talking about, you see a group of people who are doing something out of kindness, out of love, to be of assistance, and you think it just drops in. Oh, I'd like to do that. Or somebody just mentions that there's a this that's happening, this group of people who are working on this, and you say, oh, I'd like to participate in that. It just drops in. And there you have your guidance. But we can only receive that if we're here for it, because life is not going to track us down. You know, love is not going to chase us down and force us to open our hearts. It doesn't work that way. That's our part of the agreement. Not that any of us ever remember making that agreement, but it is up to us. Let's put it that way.
Right. I think. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in the night, it's easy to confuse what is the voice of life prompting me, and what is the voice of conditioning stirring me up.
Yes.
Giving me a great idea. Because the great idea seems so, you know, enlightening and like, oh, surely this is life talking to me.
Yes, but here's the way that we can tell the difference, okay? Again, it's up to us to be the participant here. So something drops in, and there's that, oh, yes, that's great, that's brilliant. Can you drop it right there? Because if it is the guidance from the intelligence that animates, there's no conversation about it. It's not going off into, yes, and then I could this and this and that would happen, and that, oh, that would be so great. That's not the intelligence that animates. That's ego on the other side of the duality, getting ready to smash you back to the that's never going to work side.
Yes, exactly. Whereas life is the still small voice that prompts on, for me, on a smaller scale, like the prompt I've been getting is, why don't you get some friends together and watch Gandhi? Watch the Gandhi movie.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Rather than, I need to be Gandhi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Gosho,
take care.
Thanks, Ladima. You know, Sherry, there was just so much in that lays out the arc of our experience around anything. You know, that sense of fear that first comes up, and then the sense of hope that comes up, both of which are phantoms that we have to sit still for in order for us to discern that both of them are just distractions and what we need to get here to receive that guidance. And to be so grateful that something like this, I mean, it's that turning to everything happens for me, that I, this is my opportunity to be able to meditate and practice being able not to be distracted, to be here to receive the guidance of life. And then for that question to arise as to when I know, when do I know that? And to receive that wonderful calibration you just offered, that there's no conversation about it. You know, that's how you know. I was just talking about that arc, right, that we all experience, that we have the experience of ego. We use the tool of practice. We reach out for guidance. We're given what we receive. That's so perfect, and it happens so often for us.
Yes. And what you're pointing at is it happens in a way that's not noticed.
That's right.
Yes?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's happening for us all the time. We just don't recognize it as the process that it is.
Mm-hmm. And it's the process that points to the quote this morning, because that's how we're given the love. And when we recognize it and receive it, that's why we can give it.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
exactly
that we're always receiving it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I had this little image drop in as you were saying that somebody just lit my hair on fire. And from ego's perspective, this is wrong. This person is to blame. This shouldn't be happening. Oh, poor me. Oh, my God. What? Okay. But from a spiritual student perspective, what we say is, wow, I've heard that thing about your hair being on fire, and now mine is. I think that this is what they call a spiritual opportunity. So now it's really, now let's see what was, oh, right, get here, pay really close attention, don't start running around hysterically, and so now I'm really practicing, as Ladima was just saying, you know, now I get it. I need to meditate. It's not a luxury. Meditation is really, it never was a luxury. I just got talked into believing that it was. It's actually the most important thing a human being can be doing from our perspective. I mean, there are people who say the most important thing that you can be doing is inventing the next piece of technology and becoming the richest person in the world. That's not what we're doing. So from a spiritual perspective, the most important thing we can be doing is meditating, because that's our best shot at getting here and quiet enough for what we're seeking to be revealed to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we receive it, the arrogance of the ego to dismiss it as trivial.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that was so beautiful. I want to watch Gandhi. Well, who knows what seeds are being sown from a getting together of a group of people and turning their attention to something inspirational. And that's what gets dismissed if we're not paying attention. And I don't know how to explain it, except that the irony of that quote is that love is always there. You have so much of it, you could give it away. And there's nothing small in life.
Yes.
You know?
Nothing
trivial.
Yes. Yes. And there is no small love, which is what you're saying, right? There's no small love. It's not so somebody like Jesus or the Buddha or Gandhi or Mother Teresa are people that we so admire because they do these big, big things. But they're doing these big things out of the same love that is available to us in each and every moment to simply be kind to the person who's standing next to us.
Absolutely. And it's only big from ego's perspective because it accumulated a bunch of things. I love what you said. You have to be Mahatma Gandhi. You can't watch Mahatma Gandhi. And in and it's that it's what you're pointing at, which is it's not sufficient to be life animating in the form called Ashwini or Ladima, which is to seek the inspiration of getting in touch with what authenticity is when I watch Gandhi, which is big.
It's very big. Yes. It's what transforms us to make us available to be used by life as life might choose to use us. And we don't know. You know, with any of these people, you know, I doubt that they ever said, oh gosh, I have been tapped by life to be extremely important. Right? Yeah. It's just moment by moment by moment choosing love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what we can do.
Yes.
It's our choice too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we get carried away, let me get another caller online. There you go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Michael in Mountain View.
Hey, oh, hello, Michael.
Hi there. This conversation is great. Great. I love it. I almost don't know where to start. But I do love that idea that I'm here to do the work that is right in front of me to do, and sort of dropping the, you know, the grandiosity or what's going to happen tomorrow or what if this doesn't work, just bringing it back to right here, right now, where are my feet, what am I doing? And I've also noticed that that recording about I Choose Unconditional Love, it's just fabulous because it takes away, if I'm driving somewhere and I put that on, it eliminates that, you know, the conditioned mind just running off with this story or that story, and just so helpful.
Yes, yes. It's funny, isn't it? Because it's such a small thing, listening to a recording of Unconditional Love. That's such a small thing. But what it does, it's a portal into a vast reality. And when we let conditioned mind just noodle along, making its little karmically conditioned egocentric connections, the world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's such a really astounding con, right? Because people believe that by staying in touch with the news and knowing the latest on everything and following, that they're living in a big world, but they're not. They're living in a little, tiny, repetitive world, the content of which is exactly the same as has been happening for as long as there have been human beings. Now, the words are different now than 5,000 years ago, but the content is exactly the same. The greed, hate, and delusion, the fear that is engendered through that constant conversation of what's wrong and what's not enough. Yeah. So that simple little recording, we listen to it and we can feel energetically that we just move through an opening into this vast reality of possibility that is actually what life is. I'm not saying that in that we, you know, we grasp all that life is, but we can feel the difference between the two places.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It does feel like it gives me a space and an openness to be here. And, you know, there's that addiction or appeal of the news and conditioning. And if I pay attention, I realize it never, ever satisfies. And
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And I have been...
And you... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have, been recently forced to practice like my hair's on fire, and I'm aware that that's a good thing. And I was thinking about it as kind of a crisis, and then what I saw is that only ego has crises, and that I'm fine, and I can be here and present and breathe and moment by moment and supported by I choose unconditional love, you know, I'll pass through it.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Because as we're fond of saying in Zen, the only thing that is born and the only thing that will die is the ego. What you are is unborn and undying. That and what we are attempting to realize through practice is that fact. Right? Mm. So every time we choose that little world of ego, he did this and she did that and they this and oh my God and what if that and what am I going to do if that whole I, me, my survival is the only thing that has any importance. That is going to die. It is. It is. And it's going to join the billions, I guess we could say at this point, of little egos that have come into existence and gone out of existence. But the eternal, what we truly are, does not do that. And so the more in touch we are with that, the calmer, the more loving we can be. So you listen to that recording, you're driving along, you're listening to that recording, you get to where you're going, and you're a completely different reality for the people to whom you show up than had you had the radio on listening to, and then this, and then that, and what's going to, and this happened there, and that happened there, right? So one is that very finite, I mean, you've lived long enough to know for society, it's just crisis after crisis after crisis. You know, there's always some big drama going on that is threatening to ego, that ego needs to survive.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yes. That and that's the constant. But the backdrop, the ground of being, as it's sometimes called, the how this is happening just goes right on. The stage, if you will. We're so involved with the play, the characters and the villains and the heroes and the damsels in distress, and that, you know, we're so involved in the drama that we never see where and how that's being performed. And that's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The unchanging, constant stage, the ground of being.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. The consciousness, the awareness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this really, this kind of time really inspires it. You know, the other time, the economy crashes. Suddenly people are desperate for paying attention to something that's going to save them.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's not, this is not unusual. And that's going to be my theme for all of this, I'm sure. Nothing has changed. The only thing that's different is that we get it on more of us are getting it on a bigger scale, let's say it that way, and being more inspired to be what we want for the world.
Yes, yes. And I loved that comment. It may have been from the very first show where you said nothing has changed. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
I still have to show up and do my work every day in the way that I've done it before. And, that's my job.
And that's right. It's still up to you to transform your being more to the side of love and away from the side of ego moment by moment by moment by moment.
And these shows are a tremendous help for that. So thank you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini.
Uh-oh. Thanks, Michael.
Oh, I thought we lost Ashwini. Oh, dear.
Almost did. Well, we're at the end of our time, Sherry, but if I may say one thing, it's that to reinforce that place of I choose unconditional love being the portal into the unconditional. Because as Michael was so beautifully describing, that ego place of fear or that conditioned, distracted attention closes that portal. And so we need a constant minute-by-minute opening of the door to be in touch with that unconditional that we are seeking. And to me, something you said really struck me about nothing has changed because that's what we're always doing. And times like these, when we get it, are just such gifts to it. The image that comes is the depth, right? It's we're digging deeper.
Yes.
We have been doing the same process, but now we have the opportunity to go to an awareness depth that we haven't been before, which is why it's such a spiritual gift.
Yes, yes. And the one thing that I would add to what we've all been saying, and especially what you're saying right now, what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is going to do to folks is to start a campaign now of, well, you're not choosing to be present. You're not choosing unconditional love. You're not, okay? And that is number one job for all of us. Shut that down. So if we're going to be the ones who turn off the news and turn off social media because we really want to have our energy available for being right here, right now in love, then we're going to turn off that conversation and conditioned mind along with turning off all the other negativity that would like to have access to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so none of that. No self-hate. No judgments, no comparisons, no, you're not doing what you should be doing. You're not, none of that, none of that. Got to go, got to go. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Sherry, and see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.